What's up, Black Man Can't Jump listeners? It's your boy, James III, jumping on to talk to you about my comic series, Junior. Issues 1 through 3 are now funding through April 1st on Kickstarter. Junior is a supernatural dark comedy series following a deadbeat dad and his newly dead son in the afterlife. Over 80 pages of spooky hijinks from celebrity ghost cameos, undead superheroes, zombie dinosaurs, and of course, the people's poltergeist, Junior, the ghost with the most past due child support. Get your copy by searching Junior 1 through 3 on Kickstarter or go to the link in my bio at Rule of Three Inc. on Instagram.
Hey, what's up, y'all? We are sponsored by Prize Picks. I myself use Prize Picks. It's just a fun way to get real money on sports action. You know, you can join over 10 million users like me and sign up today.
You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed.
Are you wondering how it works? Think about it like this. Do you believe Steph Curry will get more than 5 three-pointers next week? Maybe Giannis will go for more than 35 points? Cook up your own hot takes with some friends and you can win real money this basketball season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks.
Download the app today and use code Hollywood to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app today and use code Hollywood to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Oh, James, you said that better than I could.
Did I? Thank you.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City!
Consider the lilies of the field.
Wait, why'd you say it like...
It's definitely not said like that.
That's how he says it, because it's no, in the moment of him realizing it. When he repeats it back, he goes, consider the... You know, it's like it dawns on him.
That's so sinister. That was so sinister.
Yeah. Is that how I said it?
You said it was lilies of the field.
That's not, hold on. All right. We don't got to get into this.
It's fine. It's totally fine. Guys, we have a very special guest with us.
Yes.
Okay. We have a special guest from across the pond, as they say.
Oh. Across the pond?
Okay.
Don't do that.
Wait. I didn't do anything.
Okay. Wait.
Let me give, because
fine. You go ahead.
Let me give some stuff, and then you can do the drums. All right.
Okay. It might be horns. Who knows?
Okay. Fine. He is an award-winning author. Okay. He's a journalist and broadcaster. His writing has featured in The Times, The Guardian, The Evening Standard, GQ. Okay. He's authored and edited 12 works of fiction and nonfiction, including Black Beauty, A History of and Celebration. And he has a new book called Hollywood Blackout, The Battle for Recognition in a White Hollywood. Draw. Jeez. You can do your drums now.
Okay. We're doing UK, so we're doing a little horn.
Okay.
Hold on, wait, don't we live? Wait, hold on.
Welcome to the podcast, Ben Arigondade, everybody.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Good to be here.
Ben, no one else has gotten the horns. Just so you know, you're the first person.
Wow.
They usually get drums, but I was like, not today.
You know what I mean?
I love that. I love that. That's an honor. Thank you, Joe. That's just great.
I'm feeling
properly jazzed up now for this, now after that.
Yes. really. Yeah, you know exactly what you're getting into now. Yeah,
no, Ben, right. It's going to be great. No, you got it. The horns ring jazz.
I understand the connection between horns and the UK.
Because you know, sometimes when the queen, they like, beep, 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 is like, she has
is
a
that
little,
right? Is that yes. a thing? Okay.
She has horns with the all queen. Right. Listen, my mom used to love Princess Diana. Okay. I know all about the queen.
All right. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. For those who don't know, by the way, that this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood, which is literally what Hollywood Blackout is about, at least very specifically through the lens of the Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, Ben, in the little the write-up for your book, it had like the stats of all of the how many people have won Best Actress, Best Director, how many Black people have won these, and I was like, oh well, maybe this will change by the time. Nope, none of that changed. You didn't have to update these stats.
That's right.
2025 came and went and said, don't worry, we got your back, Ben. we will still not award. But
wait, there's been one Black director, right? One Black director's won Best Director? Have we had
Steve
one?
Steve McQueen won Best Picture, but we've had no Best Director.
No Best Director.
Oh.
Wow.
Wait, oh, that's right, because Moonlight won, but not, wow, got it.
Correct. There's been a few times that, yeah, we've had stuff like this.
Yeah.
Ben, do you want to tell us what was the inspiration for you writing this book?
George Floyd, 2020.
Yep.
I was angry and didn't know what to do with the energy. I was feeling like a lot of people. And so, as a writer, I decided, what can I do? You know, some people go outside and picket and they have the placards and they demonstrate, but you know, we have to just write stuff down and try and get something out. I started writing something. I didn't even have a title for it or a structure. I just wanted somewhere to put the rage that I was feeling. Mm. And then I kind of took a step back and paused, and you know, that thing our parents tell us, just don't drink the soup when it's hot. You have to wait for it to cool down. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took a step back and waited until I'd gathered myself. And then I said, okay, what can I do to mark the occasion? What can I do to say something about it? And I had this idea for Hollywood Blackout on the computer for kind of a long time. I hadn't done anything. And I thought maybe I can tell the story of discrimination and race somehow through that and use that as a vehicle. And so I decided I would do that and then, you know, put those guys into dedication. So at the front of the book is dedicated to George and Breonna Taylor and Mike Brown, Eric Garner, and all the others. So I just found somewhere to put that energy that I was struggling with. It's that thing about trying to put it into something constructive that won't mean you end up in jail or somewhere not good. So it's just, how do you channel energy into something that's going to help, you know? So it was right. that really. So it came from that.
I have to ask you, honestly, great on you for channeling that anger into something productive. Cause I was just at home mad, refusing to buy from certain restaurants. But when you're researching something like this, because I will admit what I struggle with our podcast is that it started, you know, right before Oscar So White the first time. And when you read these stats and you realize, oh, we're in 2025 and things haven't gotten that much better. How do you keep, like, do you have a positive outlook, or do you just like, does this kind of break you down a little bit? Because when you see stats like, we've never had a Black director win Best Director, we've had one Black woman win Best Actress ever. The Oscars have been around for how many years? 90?
There's 97.
Yeah, 97. Yeah, 19.
So almost in 100 years, we still are, and even some of those advancements with Black people just came in the last two decades. Like, was it Jamie Foxx? Denzel got his. Holly got hers. Viola got hers. Steve McQueen. Barry Jenkins. I mean, yeah, that's all within the last 20 years or so. So did you find yourself feeling empowered by writing this book, or did it like bring you down a little bit? Like, what was the emotions as you kind of were researching these facts?
I mean, I'm kind of quite a pragmatist. So for me, it was really about illumination. It's like, okay, the facts don't lie. You know, Black people can't afford to kind of be fluffy about stuff because we have to plan and stuff to kind of prepare.
Yep.
So we have to be kind of quite hardcore in terms of our attitude to injustice. It's like, okay, this is what's happening. Let's document it and then talk about what we're going to do. Otherwise, we're just complaining all the time. Mm-hmm. That doesn't move it forward, kind of thing. So for me, it was about saying, okay, let's show the reality. And in this case, the stats don't lie. But what the stats do reveal, I think fundamentally, is that Hollywood doesn't need Black people at all. So if all the minorities we have in America didn't exist, there'd still be very successful Hollywood movies with white stars and no people of color in them. So if you, for example, compare, to illustrate that point, you compare Hollywood to something like, you know, sports or music. If you take Black people out of the NBA, then it ceases to exist.
Right.
Or if you take Black people out of, you know, baseball or soccer, if you take Black people out of the history of music, those things collapsed. Mm. So those industries rely on Black talent in order to exist. But Hollywood doesn't rely on Black talent in order to exist. And so therefore, the presence of Black actors is discretionary and down to whether people want to do it or not. And that's a very unreliable way of people progressing when it's discretionary. If you have to have them, then they rise quick. So that's why you have more, you know, if you compare the number of African-American sports stars worth $100 million or whatever the measure is with successful, you've got many, many more names in music and sports than you have in Hollywood. And that's why.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, James.
Well, then, if you're going to respond to this, but my question would be, and we can either put a pin on this if you had something else, Bray, but would be like, then what is the, like, what do you see as the, like, the future of Hollywood, or the future of Black Hollywood, I guess I should say, you know, and if with that reality, you know, because it's you putting it like that is like, oh yeah, that's so clear. You know, it's so clear. Yeah, that Hollywood certainly exists, you know, in this way, and does not need Black people in order to survive. So, like, what do you say? Like, is it like figuring out how to fully infiltrate? Is it like building, you know, is it building industries of our own? You know, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think, first of all, when it comes to being accepted in Hollywood, equality should be the aim, but not the goal. So, you know, you can shoot for it, you can hope for it, but it can't be the goal because there's no way to make it happen. And so, again, to come back to realism, it's not gonna. They don't have the tools to make it happen in that way, like you do in sports or music. So, equality maybe is an unrealistic goal. And certainly after 100 years, the stats would appear to bear that out, with one Black woman having one Best Actress, no Black women ever being nominated for Best Director, et cetera, et cetera. So are we going to get to equality? I'm not sure. So then the second thing, therefore, then is to say, okay, well, if that's the reality, we have to start to produce stuff ourselves. Tyler Perry's doing it. Right. And we have to then say, right, okay, let's stop banging on that door and getting angry about it not opening. Let's blow a hole in the other side of the wall and start doing her own stuff. So those are those two things need to happen together. And that's, I think, the future for it, for me.
That's real. I mean, I think, you know, we started this podcast because we realized kind of accidentally, like, we were, James and I were arguing about a certain movie, and we kind of, through the argument, realized that there weren't a lot of leading Black actors in Hollywood that kind of sustained success. You know, at the time, it felt like there were only five. There was like Denzel, Eddie Murphy, Will Smith,
Sam Jackson.
Yeah, and Jamie Foxx. And Sam Jackson even was like somebody who is definitely a leading man and has led some films, but at times, many times, as like supporting actor. And, you know, that was, you know, that was kind of the whole point with how we started. And there seemed to be this, you know, surge of diversity and awareness, right? You had Oscar So White, and then you had Oscar So White Part Two, because it happened two times in a row. Hollywood was like, let's bring the sequel. You know, this is so good. Let's do it twice. And there seemed to be this movement and this surge. And I'm sure you talk about it in your book. They were like, okay, maybe we need to change who the voters are in the Academy. But of course, I don't know. I guess I wanted to ask you in your research, and obviously everyone should go out and buy this book, because there's so much more. You get so much more in depth about these things. But like, when that surge happened, do you feel like it kind of started to fade away? Like, has it? How much change has happened, and is it sustainable?
I mean, if you look at the whole timeline of the 100 years, what you see is that the Oscars that African Americans have won have coincided with external events in the world. So we like to think that change in society happens organically, because people over time become more moral and their hearts open just organically and naturally. But actually, what you find instead of that kind of fantasy is that change happens because of explosions over there. So in 1940, when Hattie McDaniel won for the first time, the backdrop to that was the Second World War and Hitler marching across Europe. So the narrative was, how can Americans rail against the Nazis and their atrocities when we're creating atrocities back home with our own people?
Right.
So then Hattie McDaniel wins within that backdrop. Then in 1964, when Sidney Poitier wins, he wins against the backdrop of civil rights and the March on Washington that happened in August 1963, where all of the Hollywood big players turned up Lincoln Memorial to listen to Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Poitier wins within that context. Then in 1984, when Lew Gossett Jr. wins for Officer and Gentleman, he wins in the years after the Vietnam War, when there are other American conflicts happening. So you come up through into the digital age, you have Oscar So White, then you have a spike. Then in 2020, where we've had the biggest spike in history so far, where you had three events converging at the same time: Black Lives Matter, coronavirus pandemic, and George Floyd being murdered. Those three things came together in a way that we've never seen. And then the Academy Awards, immediately after Floyd's death, saw the largest number of people of color in the Oscar nominees. Nine out of the 20 acting categories were people of color, like 45%. That's the highest figure there's ever been. And that happened after Floyd. So what you see over the timeline is the blips happen, and then people win. And then the key thing, to your point, Jonathan, is after that, it fades down.
Right.
So the big question then is, why doesn't compassion, fairness last within human beings? If it's right to be fair because this thing is happening in the external environment, well, why doesn't it last in us all the time? And this is a question for all of us, actually, in society. You know, if somebody knocks on your door and says, we're collecting money to save the dogs in the neighborhood, and you're like, oh, I love dogs, you give money. And then they come back again for more money 6 months later. You might go, hey, well, you know, I gave some money 6 months ago. I don't do that again. You know, so how do we maintain that that desire for fairness, for compassion? What you see is that actually with the Oscars, it hasn't sustained itself. It's blipped up and down.
Right.
So one of the learnings there then is, okay, so we need explosions in order to move the needle. So there's an explosion, get as much as you can when the explosion happens before it dies down. Create as many explosions as you can, and then you can get some progress. So after 100 years of it, African-American actors have won 24 times, but the explosions haven't benefited the other minorities to that degree at all. So African-Americans have agitated the hardest and the most intensely over that timeline. So they've won 24 times. Latinos have won 5 times in the same period. The East Asians have won 4 times in the same period. And the Native Americans have won nothing in the same period. So that's the reality.
That's right. Lily Gladstone didn't win.
Yeah. So she came so close and then it didn't happen.
No, first off, no, she, that, okay. Like, I want someone to win, but like her hope, the faith shouldn't just be on Lily. Cause I was like, that's
no,
like,
I know, but
it's like, that's a hard performance. Cause I'm like, that performance going up that year was so tough because that would have been a performance where I'm like, as good as she was, I think that always would have been put into question because I think a lot of people would have said that wasn't the best performance that year. That would have been a performance because, oh, we need to give an indigenous person an award. And I like, it's just so tough to have that.
To Ben's point, that is always how the awards are being handed out. It's always being handed out like we need to give an award to someone of this background. It's not given out solely because of the performance or what have you, which I find so interesting. I feel like we talk about this a lot. We felt on our end as creators and as writers when those explosions happen, how that ripples out to like who's being hired and how many, you know, certain things are being developed and it's always pockets, you know, where it's you know, they're now cutting back DEI efforts across networks. So, you know, who knows what that's going to look like in the future. Right. But your research sort of direct, seeing the direct correlation even to awards is fascinating. I think for me to hear, and also I think for our listeners too.
Yes. So please, we're going to start talking about the movie now, but just one more time, and we'll say plug at the end too. Hollywood, mm-hmm. The title of the book is Hollywood Blackout, The Battle for Recognition in a White Hollywood. Ben, have you done like an audiobook?
I have, yeah. There is one there. I have.
Hell, there's an audio for this. Amazing.
Okay, so host. Guys,
yeah,
you guys can get the audiobook, get the paperback, you know, get it for someone for Easter. I don't care. Whatever. Yeah,
holiday. For Easter?
Yeah,
get
bro.
Multiple, get multiple.
Yeah, get it for Easter.
Get the hits going, okay?
Give out an Easter. How? Why not? Juneteenth is, you know, Juneteenth. I don't care, man.
In the basket, it's in the basket. There's a chocolate bunny and Hollywood Blackout. That's in the basket.
People are like, oh, okay. And in case anybody was getting down by some of the facts and the realism, I just want people to consider the lilies of the field.
All right. Okay.
And that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. All right. Never do that again. We're never doing that again. Okay.
Just
Jonathan Raylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can't jump.
Black actors, man.
Black actors.
All right, all right, all right, all right.
What's up, Black Man Can't Jump listeners? It's your boy, James III, jumping on to talk to you about my comic series, Junior. Issues 1 through 3 are now funding through April 1st on Kickstarter. Junior is a supernatural dark comedy series following a deadbeat dad and his newly dead son in the afterlife. Over 80 pages of spooky hijinks from celebrity ghost cameos, undead superheroes, zombie dinosaurs, and of course, the people's poltergeist, Junior, the ghost with the most past due child support. Get your copy by searching Junior 1 through 3 on Kickstarter or go to the link in my bio at Rule of Three Inc. on Instagram.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.